Here's Joe Concha.
Welcome back, everybody. So when I saw the story break, I'm thinking, wow, I didn't see the byline. The byline is the author. And I'm like, this got to be Miranda Devine because she breaks stories. She gets the scoop. She has the right sources. And here we are 16 months after President Trump, by a centimeter, was nearly assassinated live on national television. And Miranda Devine and I were about to go on the big weekend show on Fox. Miranda was back in makeup. I was in the green room. And when you heard the pop, 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 and you saw the president go down, and he's down there for a good like 45, 60 seconds. You don't know whether he's dead. It looked like he grabbed his ear, like he was stung by something. Then he goes down. You just don't know what's happening. Well, we never really learned anything about Thomas Crooks, who is now dead. He was shot right after he tried to shoot President Trump. His body was cremated, almost like Osama bin Laden style. Like, okay, get rid of body. It's done. And then our media didn't really pursue the story all that much of the first president, in this case, former president, to be shot since Ronald Reagan in 1981. And you're thinking like, boy, there should be a lot more curiosity around this story. Like, who was this kid? Was he working with anybody? Did he have an ideology that may have driven him to this? And Miranda exposed it all in the New York Post this week, the exclusive of the year, I would say. So, Miranda, thanks for joining us. And how, I'm not going to ask you to reveal your sources, but you pursued this when so many other journalists would not. And how did you get to this point where you found out what you did?
Thanks, Joe. Look, it was really just fortuitous. It was just a long-term source contacted me and said that one of his clients had done all this research and had done it themselves in an amateur way. He's a real patriot, loves President Trump, thought that the official story didn't add up, is very proficient with digital stuff, and managed to, just using some very simple tools, managed to dig up this Thomas Crooks, the 20-year-old would-be assassin, dig up his digital footprint. And he found 17 different platforms that Crooks had accounts on. And he, from that, managed to sort of pull together a whole lot of comments that Crooks made that give us much more visibility into his motivation, his trajectory to becoming an assassin. And, you know, there are some curious elements in here. One of them, and I don't want to exaggerate it, is a slight similarity to Tyler Robinson, the alleged Charlie Kirk assassin, and that is that some connection to this sort of furry community. Thomas Crooks had an account on a very on a bizarre sort of site called DeviantArt, which is apparently the biggest online hub for furries. And furry, of course, is this sexual fetish, mostly sexual, where people dress up as animals and they enjoy cartoon animal characters having sex, or, you know, nude, or, I mean, it's just humanized cartoon stuff. It's weird. But Crooks was on that site, and he described himself as they, them, because remember, Tyler Robinson's live-in lover was a transgender or transitioning furry.
Yep.
So that's a slight link. And there are other curious things, such as that Crooks was very rabidly pro-Trump through all this period when he was like 15, 16, 17. And then in January of 2020, he does a complete 180 and becomes very anti-Trump.
And the methods you used, and this is according to the New York Post editorial board, the methods of Devine's source used started with Crooks' phone number to track down his accounts on YouTube, Snapchat, Venmo, Zelle, GroupMe, Discord, Google Play, Quizlet, which I haven't heard of before, chess.com. We could go down the list. But then the editorial board asks, how could the feds miss the YouTube account literally with Tom Crooks 2178? Which showed to other users as Tom Crooks, right? So if you're the FBI and you're like, wow, let's find a digital footprint, I think you put in Thomas Crooks or Tom Crooks, but of course, they somehow missed this. This is unbelievable to me. And also the Secret Service for allowing, I swear I cannot get my head over this or around this, that from 400 feet away, Thomas Crooks, who's 20 years old, outflanks the entire Secret Service and local law enforcement, is able to hide a high-powered rifle next to the building. No one discovers it. He climbs up that building, the one line of sight that is to that stage. And then when everybody knew that there was a threat out there. Certainly the FBI did. I'm certain not the FBI, but at least the Secret Service. They still sent Trump on that stage anyway. That's the one thing that really gets in my craw, that if you know there's a threat out there and it hasn't been contained yet, why would they send the president out onto the stage? So if you want to unpack all of this, go right ahead, Miranda. The floor is yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think it is inconceivable that the FBI had not been aware of Thomas Crook's online footprint. And in fact, when the former deputy director, Paula Bate, testified to Congress just 2 weeks after Butler last year, he mentioned an account that they had found with over 700 comments from Crooks. And I assume that's the same as the YouTube one, because it's the only one that was so prolific. And he said, though, Paula Bate sort of lied by omission, because he mentioned that the first part of Crook's trajectory up until January 2020, when he was pro-Trump, he was also anti-Semitic and very anti-Democrat. Murder the Democrats was one of his comments. He constantly threatening Ilhan Omar and AOC and the Squad. But you know, Paula Bate never mentioned that this crook flipped and became anti-Trump in January 2020. He gave us half the story. Why was that? Why has the FBI never come clean and given us a proper profile of Thomas Crooks? If, as they've told us, he acted alone — this is what Kash Patel said last week in a tweet — that he acted alone, basically shut up, go away, stop asking questions. And it's not just journalists asking questions. It's also members of Congress. Ron Johnson is one, but there are others as well who are very upset about the fact that they've been what they call stonewalled by the FBI, both during the Biden administration when we expect it, but also under the Trump administration. This investigation needs to go ahead. And Ron Johnson, for one, his job is oversight. He's pursued this. He was upset that he was forced to actually issue a subpoena to Kash Patel in July on the 12-month anniversary. As for the Secret Service, their after-action report is classified. I think it's, you know, it behooves members of Congress who are in, who have access from Homeland Security or intelligence communities, to actually look at that and tell the American people what was going on. We still don't really understand why the Secret Service was so incredibly incompetent. Was it incompetence or was it deliberate? Was it just making sure that Donald Trump had the absolute, you know, F team, the worst team possible, so just in case something happened, oh, well, sorry, because obviously Joe Biden and the Democrats did not want Donald Trump to survive and win that election.
It's easy to get stuck reaching for the same familiar fruits and vegetables, even when you know a colorful variety is key. Balance of Nature's fruits and veggie supplements don't replace fruits and vegetables, but it makes it easy to add more variety to what you already eat. With 31 ingredients that are whole fruits and vegetables, switching it up is easy, because we've already taken care of the hard part. Go to balanceofnature.com and get a free fiber and spice supplement, plus 35% off your first set as a new preferred customer by using discount code POD.
Well, let me ask you this, Miranda, and we're talking to Miranda Devine, New York Post, great scoop this week, one of the best scoops of the year, if not the best. That's the thing about what you were just describing, as far as Joe Biden and Jill Biden specifically. She was in Pittsburgh that day, I believe, or somewhere nearby, where she got the A-team that you just described. And Trump was left with other, you know, assets. Now, he has the people that were protecting him within the Secret Service. I've met them. I was on the Trump plane. They're always the same people, but they're the ones on the stage, right? They're not the ones running the perimeter and so on. So all that said, are you amazed that no one was fired from the Secret Service? I mean, the head of the Secret Service resigned in shame, basically. But we haven't seen any accountability around this. I mean, why do you think that is?
Yeah, the two top people were ousted or resigned. But yeah, I agree. I don't know. I honestly don't know. There are so many mysteries in this case on both the FBI and the Secret Service. I don't believe it's a matter of You know, evidence is falling between the cracks between the two agencies. Both are sort of trying to offload blame onto the other. Whatever is going on, they have not been transparent with the American people. And the reason that matters, and I don't think the leaders of those organizations realize this, the reason it matters so much is because where there is a vacuum with a huge mystery, crazy conspiracy theories creep in. We've seen that with Charlie Kirk. It is so damaging. It sends people cuckoo. They really do go psycho with these ideas. So, you know, if there is just the evidence that is able to be given, I do not understand why we were not allowed to know about Crooks's online history. He's dead. It doesn't hurt any trials. What are they hiding and why are they hiding it? And, you know, they keep telling us that, oh, the FBI had and the Secret Service, we had no connection with Crooks and we didn't know about him before Butler. That is really hard to believe. And it, people, FBI people have told me, you know, off the record, agents, but also former agents have said there is no way that this kid with his voluminous threatening rhetoric online over many years did not come to the attention of the authorities. And honestly, if he didn't, which is very hard to believe, he should have, and that's another problem.
Oh, indeed it is. And also at Trump International, where I've also been, I did a speech there not too long ago. I walked to where the sixth hole was and outside the perimeter. And it's just amazing that no one walked the perimeter. And Ryan Ruth, that assassin, was able to sit there in a sniper's nest for more than 12 hours. And not one Secret Service agent decides to walk the perimeter of the most targeted man in the world playing golf. And on a green, that's different, right? You are just, there is nowhere to go. There's no trees. Mm. There's no hiding. He was a sitting duck. Thank God that one Secret Service agent saw that rifle going through the bushes and stopped that assassination attempt. I'm going to give you 20 seconds, which is hard to do here, but I want your thoughts on the Trump-Mamdani meeting that we saw at the Oval Office. That was incredible.
It was incredible. I mean, it was a real love fest. It wasn't exactly what I expected, but I guess it is really to be expected because Donald Trump absolutely loves his hometown. And as he said, the better Mamdani does, the happier he is, the better New York is. You know, even though I live in New York, I kind of wanted him to play tough with him and to withhold funds, but maybe this is the best way. You know, what Trump said was, I've changed. You know, you change when you come into office, he'll change. And Mamdani actually standing next to Trump at the Resolute desk actually nodded at that. So look, you know, I don't like Mamdani, but he's kept on Jessica Tisch. That's a good sign as a NYPD head. And if he's going to keep New York safe and not send us broke, I guess we're no worse off than we have been for a while.
Indeed. And if you watched MSNBC and CNN afterwards, they did not know what to make of this. They so wanted a confrontation so they could say Trump bullied them and everything. And they don't understand that Trump is playing 4D chess at this point. Anyway, Miranda Devine, New York Post, thanks so much for joining us. And I guess we'll be on Life, Liberty, and Levin tonight at 8 p.m. So back to back, Miranda and Joe, that'll be interesting to say the least. And again, love you and appreciate it again.
Thanks so much, Joe. See you.
All right. See you soon. She's great, isn't she? And a great reporter. Actually one that's actually doing journalism. Go figure. This is Joe Concha. This is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. Back with more in just a moment.
It's the Joe Concha Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show.